At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait, am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday brings you a new story. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
Young joins us. Brad, you just need a daily hit. You just need to carve out maybe 90 minutes a day for us.
Okay, yeah, I'll work on getting Steve Moore to approve my fees for that.
There you go. We can create a slush fund. That's not above our pay grade. We can do that.
Hey, we see lots of slush funds around. Not a problem.
What I want to start with, it wasn't one of the typical things. Oh, I know. I have a case I want to bring up here a little bit later. Hold on. Let me just make a note of that. Let's start with Dr. Fauci. I happened to have the displeasure. I've never been in politics. I've never been in the parliamentary procedure kind of thing. But, you know, from law school, you kind of get what's going on when you watch these Senate subcommittees and such. And it's just so frustrating. Like, I was watching yesterday, and every one of these idiots had to be like, I make a motion that, you know, and anyway, long story short, they have decided to charge, I guess not a charge, but to hold Anthony Fauci in contempt. I'm wondering, first of all, what he's in contempt of. It's a subcommittee. And then the whole kerfuffle seems to be whether you can invoke the Fifth Amendment when you've already been pardoned. So take it from there.
Yeah, it's all theater. It truly is. And again, that's not anything that's associated with the Trump administration. I mean, it's been theater for decades. And particularly once you got the 24-hour news networks that were going in the 80s, it became all theater. But let's look exactly what's happening with Fauci, because it's very detailed oriented and there's a lot of moving parts. So first, the subcommittee voted to refer him for a finding of contempt of Congress. That doesn't really mean anything. It's not going to go anywhere, but it is the first step in a process. Now, the usual route is that you have to have it reported to the full Senate, certified by the president of the Senate, and then sent to the attorney general for grand jury consideration if you're going to go get a criminal conviction. Effectively, that's just not going to happen here because you'd have to get like 2/3 of the Senate. That's not going to happen. But to get back to your theater point, they may go that route just to get senators on record. So then next time they're up for re-election, you can run those ads. And, you know, the great ads are always the ones that are in black and white,
yeah,
right? And they show the person with a real nasty look on their face.
Yeah.
And then you can run an ad that says, Senator Jones supports lying to Congress about the COVID. You know, and then the ad goes on. So that's the theater part. The reality is that I don't think you're going to get an immunity deal here. I don't think Fauci actually gets prosecuted, but the theater will continue.
Now I'm thinking like a lawyer again, but wouldn't there be an argument on behalf of Fauci that, true, I have a pardon from 2014 through 2025, But that's for federal crimes. I could still be charged with state crimes. I could still be charged with federal crimes post January 2025. And so that's why I'm taking the fifth.
Yes. But here's what, if you could get Congress to actually work together, here's what could happen to alleviate those concerns. Because if the Senate voted by a two-thirds vote to advance notice to the Attorney General and move forward in that process, then you could get an immunity order from the courts. That not only resolves federal issues, but under federal law also would shield Fauci from state lawsuits.
Yeah.
State and federal. Once that happens, you could bring him back, have him testify, and he could not plead the fifth on anything, or he would be found in contempt of Congress.
Brad, the case I wanted to ask you about, I don't know if you've even seen it, but it's out of Florida, and they passed a law saying that you could get in real trouble if you own a business and you have a drag show and you allow children to be there. And it went up on appeal, and the appellate court upheld it. And the judge who was writing the majority opinion said, this is as straightforward an example as I've ever seen of restricting obscenity. And then in some pretty scathing dissents, a couple other judges were saying, this is about so much more. This is about First Amendment. It's not about you putting your moral judgments above parents, because so many, especially conservative people, are very protective of, I'm the parent, I'm going to decide what they do, where they go, what they see, what they consume. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that case.
Well, it's actually not a new law. It's a law in Florida that's been around for a while. I read the story this morning and looked into it, and it's called the Protection of Children Act out of Florida. And you're right, they did hold that someone could be criminally prosecuted for allowing children. And see, that's the big distinction here, is that free speech arguments don't really fly when you're talking about kids. If you go to any school district and you tell them, in fact, the leading Supreme Court case came out of Hazelwood in the 70s, that they cannot say something, they don't have the right, they don't have full freedom of speech rights, kids don't, under the law. And exactly where we draw the line, every case that comes up draws that line differently. But kids don't have. That's why, for example, you can search their lockers. You don't have to have reasonable cause, probable suspicion, none of that. You can search their lockers. So when it comes to kids, and I think this is what this Florida Protection of Children Act focuses on, is that you don't have a free speech right as an adult drag performer to necessarily perform for children. That would fall under time, manner, and place restrictions of the First Amendment.
What? But is this not a restriction on parents? Because as a, I guess I, this doesn't have to be this issue. Because if any state or federal government can tell parents you can't bring your kids to this thing, well then why can't they pick another thing to decide that I'm not allowed to take my kids to? Why sure. is what my kids are exposed to in any way the government's business at all? Unless well, it's unless I'm doing harm to my child. But you're going to have to really go far to make that case in
well,
this scenario.
Let's put it in a different situation here. When I was 12, growing up in West Frankfort, Illinois, I had all the beer I wanted out of the fridge in the basement, right? But could my parents have been prosecuted for giving me beer? And then you say, well, what right does the government have to say that my coal miner dad couldn't give me a Busch beer when I was 12 years old? Well, they have every right to do that. And so in this instance, we can debate whether it's harmful or not harmful, but the state has a heightened ability to regulate products and services and access to children because of the state's function to protect children.
Brad, I'm curious, how does the decision that something is going to be harmful for a child come into it? For example, obviously there are a lot of people out there who would say, well, friggin' duh, taking a kid to a drag show, of course that could be harmful. And a lot of other people say, like, you've never been to a drag show. You don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, and not all drag shows are going to have the same type of
right.
content.
If it was like a strip show, you have a great point. If it's just people dressed up singing songs, That's not sexual. That's just people singing songs.
Yeah, I think go ahead, Brad.
Well, that morality is in the eye of the beholder. And so when it comes to state legislatures, that's why votes matter, right? So what is moral or immoral in Jefferson City or in Tallahassee, Florida, might be a lot different than what is moral or immoral in Connecticut or New Jersey.
I just find the whole thing fascinating that...
Well, it's
there are very clear lines, I think, from like direct harm, physical harm, psychological abuse, things along those lines. And yet when we get into the gray areas, and everything is subjective. And that's the problem with it, is that someone can then take another path that you're okay with, but they're not. And if they have political power, if they've got the votes in that state, well, now they can tell you what your morality should be.
Right.
Right. But then this is a great debate that we had in law school, Wheels, about can you legislate morality? And the answer to that is yes, we do it every single day. Every law that comes out is a legislation based on morality. We as a society have said it's immoral to kill somebody.
Right. But we do that thing because the vast majority of people agree. When there's a larger set of dissent or disagreement, in a democracy, that should be considered where people are having a debate, right?
Yep. And it is considered. It's called the ballot box. So if the folks in Florida say, you know what, we want our kids to go to drag shows, then they can vote out the legislators in Florida who passed that law and vote in different ones. I mean, that's the ultimate power of the ballot box.
Except that everything's so gerrymandered in every state now, really not. Whether it's Republican or Democrat, it's not a distinction. Your only choice is, well, I guess I'm going to move to another state. Because in most places, you're just not going to make the change.
That's the sound of a can of worms being opened. Right there.
It is, isn't it?
These two are really having a good time.
Yeah, I mean, I love this. Like, this is the part, like, I didn't want to go to law school, but this is the part of law school I would love. Is that debate about these kinds of like nuances within it, because it's such a, I don't even know that I agree or disagree with any of the laws necessarily, but it's like, okay, then where do we stop? Where is the line? And if the line can move, then is it even a line?
Well, it is a moving line. And just like we saw in the Hazelwood School District case of freedom of the press, right? Those lines do keep moving. And that's why whenever you hear anyone say, and I know this is going to lurch into a different area, but it's still true. When anyone says that this is settled law, there is nothing that is settled law. There is no law in any area that is, quote, settled law, unquote, because as society changes, our laws change, our interpretation of laws change. So anytime someone falls back on that argument, that's just a false argument. Hmm.
So, Brad, final story here. Alex Murdaugh, who I believe murdered like his whole family, he was given a new trial because the court clerk was evidently gossiping to the jury, and this shouldn't take you long, and don't let him fool you and such. And he sued her, I guess, to get back his attorney's fees. He shouldn't have had to face that trial, or she ruined it and he wasted his money. How did that come out?
Well, to me, this is a great story, Dave, because it has convergence of two ideas, is that he's trying to sue this clerk, Becky Hill, because she was clearly gossiping to the jury. But his lawsuit got dismissed because he could not prove that other than Becky, you know, talking to the jury, he wouldn't have had to have spent $600K on legal fees. So he would have been charged anyway because he did the crime, right? So that had nothing to do with it. So that civil case is dismissed. On the other hand, the state Supreme Court overturned his conviction because of what Becky Hill did. And now prosecutors have to take all this back to trial again. And we have to live through this entire trial scenario all over again because his convictions were overturned.
All right, Brad. Thank you, buddy. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. One that can stop her.
At Farmers, our honesty is contagious.
Wait. am I going to catch honesty?
Well, when you're with Farmers, it's kind of inevitable.
Well, how long does it take to... I lied to you when you asked if I knew what a deductible was. I don't know my dad's birthday, and I thought umbrella policies were for rainstorms. Actual rainstorms. I have it, don't I?
You don't just have honesty.
You have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
Here's something you may not know. Only 14% of cancers in the U.S. are caught through routine screenings. Prenuvo's whole body MRI may help close that gap. Screening for over 500 conditions, including most solid tumors, all in under an hour. Prenuvo's body panels also test over 80 biomarkers for a deeper understanding of your health. No radiation, no contrast. Book your scan at prenuvo.com. That's prenuvo.com.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
Welcome back, DJs and KMOX. Following up on the drag showcase out of Florida, we're just talking about it on the break. I'm putting words in people's mouths or thoughts in their brains, but I doubt that they would deny it. My guess is a lot of the people who would say, and by the way, these drag shows in Florida were quote unquote family friendly. So whatever that means, it means obviously not showing any skin, not stripping. It's a male dressed up as a female, singing, doing jokes, that kind of stuff. And Rachel was talking about, like, you know, what the objection would be. And I don't think it's about showing body parts. I don't think it's about the overt sexual jokes. I think most people who would object to it just don't want their children to see or maybe even know that people like that exist.
Yeah, I think
it's that simple.
I think that is the point. Because a lot of the discourse around it, like, I don't think a lot of people understand it. Well, they're like, it's inappropriate. Well, sure, there are certain drag shows that would be very inappropriate to take a child to because it's going to be raunchy. It's going to be a bunch of raunchy jokes and stuff. Yeah, obviously leave your toddler at home for that or your 12-year-old. But, like, just the presence of a drag queen is not inherently raunchy or sexual at all. I do think it boils down to I just don't want my child around that type of person. But, you know, We jump through all these hoops and we try to make it seem like it's so much more dark and dangerous than it actually is, when it really just boils down to, like, discrimination. And, you know, it's sad. And to be clear, like, there are women who do drag as men. I mean, this was never a conversation when I was a kid, by the way. And it just never was. And then there were a few, like, drag story hours at a library, which, as I understand, you have the choice whether or not you want to bring your child to an event. I didn't know you were forced to bring your child to a public event, but it just exploded into this, like, this should never be happening. No children should ever be attending an event like this. It's like, well, you know, there are people who probably think you shouldn't bring your 8-year-old boy to Hooters either, but I guess it's your right if you want to take him there to get some chicken wings. Yeah.
And that's kind of what I was getting at. And with Brad, it wasn't an argument. It's just, I just find the legality, you know, really interesting and the nuances of it. But I think that's kind of the point. If you, as a parent, don't think that's appropriate for your kids, great. Don't take them. I'm not telling you should take your kids anywhere. I'm just saying you don't get to choose for other parents.
Yeah.
Also worth pointing out, you're going to see a whole lot more skin in Hooters than you are at a drag show.
Right. Like, the whole thing, it's like, they don't need to be, like, what do you think happens at the drag show? Like, it's a lot of joke telling and a lot of singing, but drag is about dressing up, not taking your clothes off. So I just get confused when other people, I don't know. Just, there's a lot of, like, but what about when this happens? And it's like, I don't think that ever happens, though. I don't think you understand what's going on.
But if there were shows,
and that's okay,
that
but
was
maybe
going
just don't
on?
Have such a loud opinion about it. If you have no clue what's happening, maybe you could just be a little more quiet. Yeah.
And if there are shows where that is going on, then I would agree that's inappropriate for kids to be there.
Yeah, of course.
Right? But that would be true if it was just regular men and women that were dressed as themselves.
Yeah. Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Klaibs pinch hitting for Ricky Horton. Klaibs, how you doing, my brother?
I'm doing great. I'm enjoying this off day, the first one we've had in 20 games.
Damn.
Just listening to the rainfall and just chilling.
Nice, brother.
It's a good day.
It's been a
good day.
It's been a crazy, like, what would you say, Claybs? Like 2 months where it was like 17 or 18 straight games.
Yeah.
Or 18 games in 17 days to close out the part before the All-Star break. And then you had the break, and then it's 20 straight days right out of the gate.
Yeah, you know, MLB does a lot of things. Scheduling is one of the things they're not very good at in having these games bunched up like this. And really it comes down to the fact because you play everybody now, you have to play the game. There isn't a makeup game down the road. You have to stay as long as you can. And it really can throw a team for a loop. And, you know, we had to deal with that coming out of the All-Star break. The off day we were scheduled to have, we had to come back and play Arizona Diamondbacks. So, you know, everybody deals with it. You know, you listen to the Yankees guys, and they complain about it as well. But, you know, it comes with the territory. And it's one of the reasons why when they talk about players, you know, they make a lot of money. Well, you know, it's little things like this is why they get paid along with the skill set.
So I have a couple thoughts, then I'll shut up. My first thought I shared with the guys on Monday, I want to run it by you, Claybs. When I saw Nolan Arenado and Lars Nootbaar in an Arizona Diamondbacks uniform, and I'm not making a joke, I really mean this, they looked 80% less cool. The Cardinals uniform and the Cardinals tradition just makes all the guys look cooler. That's a hill I'm going to die on.
You know, you might be on to something because, you know, the Diamondbacks have like about 9 different uniforms. it just depends on what day of the week it is. And then the one great thing about the Cardinals, Yankees, you know, those teams don't change. I mean, the uniforms don't change. It's who we are, and that's why we're cool because we don't need to change in order to impress anyone. The tradition that's been set by all the great players before now is why it makes it a cool uniform. And I always think, like, when the All-Star game takes place, they introduce players, and when a Cardinal player comes out of the dugout for introduction, it's just something about that, that look that's different.
My second thought is, and I think you guys will get this too, I love baseball analysis. I love dipping my toe in it. I love listening to you guys do it. I listen to all the shows. I'm coming in Sunday to sit in with Tommy on Sports in a Sunday. I love it. But now that we're past the trade deadline and we, you know, it's fun to talk about when Baez is coming up and such. But you know what else is fun? Having a hot dog and a beer and just friggin' enjoying baseball.
Yeah. I mean, it's what we do. And it's something about the, you know, when you get to the ballpark, you smell the food and, you know, people that line up for a nice cold frosty one, as Mike Shannon used to say. And it's just certain traditional things that you do that you only do at a baseball game. And
so true.
You know, maybe it's the time of the year or just maybe the tradition has come with it. But it's something that there's nothing like it. And I don't want to take anything away from the other sports, because they have their traditions too, but it's something about a baseball game and the fact that some people come to watch, some people come to just talk, some people come to learn, and, you know, just like scorekeeping, you know, everybody keeps score differently. And I don't know if that's the same in other sports, but it's something about baseball that just separates itself. Maybe because we've been around it all of our lives and we grew up on it and our families grew up on it. And, you know, it's been a great tradition to maintain.
I've always found it interesting, too, Claybs. And nothing's better than when your team is really good, right? When they're a contender.
Yes.
Like, there's nothing better than that. But to be clear, baseball is still fun. Every sport is still fun, even if your team's not great. Like, it's still
show. Right.
It's still competition. It's still entertainment. It doesn't have to be an Oscar-winning movie to be an enjoyable movie.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I think that, you know, if you're the casual fan, it's fun, but it's hard. This is a hard sport to play. And the people who play it, most of them are really, really good. They're better than us. And I always, you know, tip my cap to those who play, whether it's one inning or one at bat This is something I know I'll never do at that level, but it's a lot of fun to watch because, you know, I'll give you a good example. You know, baseball, you know, everybody has a different batting stance, okay? And whether you mimic somebody you watch growing up or, you know, you just feel comfortable with that. And it just seems like it's a unique sport with regard to how you approach it because people look at different things in a game, whether it's does this guy have a good fastball or how far can this guy hit it, you know, or how good is this guy defensively. I mean, there's a lot of different nuances to the game that people come to watch, and you may not be watching the same thing.
Yeah.
Clip, I have a question for you. I really enjoyed...
Let's go to the phones, and I believe Dave is saying, is this Dave? Dave, you're on the air. First-time caller, long-time listener.
I really enjoyed the last few days listening to you do the play-by-play, something I've never done, something I'll never do, but I'm a broadcaster. And just could you sort of talk me through what that's like? It's different for everyone, obviously, but for you, what that's like to sit behind the Camwex mic and call a game?
You know what? It's one of the most special things I've ever done because I grew up in St. Louis and I had the chance to listen to Harry Caray and Jack Buck and Mike Shannon and John Rooney and to sit in that chair and be able to give the description and account of the game like these guys would do. It's one of the most humbling things I've ever done in my life. And I truly cherish it. Whether I'm working with John or whether I'm working with Ricky, I mean, we have a good time and we have a lot of fun with it. But I think the fact that listening to it all my life and then now being part of that tradition is something, man, that I will always cherish.
And the best call last night was Ivan Herrera's crazy throw to second base.
What in the hell is going on here? We looked at each other, and I know he was trying to make a play, but it was one of those things where as soon as he went into his contortion to try and get the ball, and I'm saying to myself, this may not end well. Now, the best thing about it was the run didn't score, but it created a real – it was – you hope this wasn't going to be how the game was decided.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Based on the outcome of the game and the outcome of that inning, it's funny, right?
Yeah.
But you lose that game by that one run crossing the plate. It's not funny anymore, and it's a bigger negative story. And it gets to the point that, like, he's not a catcher. And that's not a play that most catchers can make, but a catcher should know they can't make that play.
That's why they're good catchers, because they know, put it in your pocket and let's get them on the next pitch.
Like, Yachty could make that play. Yachty's one of the guys that could make that play. No. But there's like four catchers in the league that could make that play.
And maybe five people on the planet, and we just don't know who that other person is. And it was a head scratcher. And you know, it's in New York, and it was just kind of helter skelter. I'll tell you a quick story. So Wednesday night after the game, we go to this little place, and I'm going up the stairs. And I'm looking at this guy, and I'm like, you know, that's Reggie Jackson. Huh. Mm. And so I go over, and we'd met before. But I reintroduced myself to him, and he said, "Oh yeah, you Bob Gibson's guy and Joe West." And so I said, "Yeah, you and I did a podcast together a couple of years ago with Joe West." And he said, "Is he still alive?" Yeah, he's still alive. So he comes in to this place, and Ollie's there, and so I introduce him to Ollie. And so Ollie looked at him, and, you know, they talked, and, you know, and Ollie reminded me, he said, you know, I never had a chance to see him play. You know, I was a kid, and I never saw him play in his heyday. And then he said, now let me get this straight. He hit 563 home runs. And the reason why Ollie asked me is because Ollie was bigger than him. Huh. But he was so gracious with his time. And you hear these stories about how he can be. But he was so cool, and Kevin and Dave, you guys may remember when he reeked cool when he was in his heyday.
Yeah,
yeah.
Reggie and he in New York just they matched like a glove, and it was just so cool to hang out with him. And that's one of the great things about the game, where you just never know who you're going to run into and meet that you may be looked up to or really appreciated how well they played the game.
Yeah, Reggie's fun, you know. Because you think back to when he was playing and people, you know, he kind of had that public image of, oh, he's kind of a jerk or he's arrogant or whatever. And, you know, he probably was in his 20s and 30s, right? And then he grew up like the rest of us. And you become, yeah. But I'll tell you the cool side story on Reggie. Reggie loves sports radio. Or at least he did back in the day.
He's still a huge fan of sports. You're right. You're absolutely right.
He would call my show, not my show specifically, but our network. Like, he called one time. And my producer gets on the talkback. He goes, this guy on the line says he's Reggie Jackson, and he kind of sounds like him, but I don't know if it's really Reggie Jackson. Should we do it? I'm like, let's see what happened. It was really him. He just called to talk baseball, which was so cool.
But, you know, he knows the other sports, too, and that's mind-boggling about him. Here's some breaking news. Aaron Judge makes Jordan Walker size-wise look like a teenager.
He's so big.
Let me tell you. I talked to him for a couple of minutes and we shook hands, and when he let my hand go, the blood started to recirculate to my elbow. I never, you know, and I've been around him before, but, and then, you know, I'm sitting looking at Jordan Walker, who's the biggest Cardinal to ever put a uniform on. But this Aaron Judge is from another planet, man. I mean, he goes 270 easy.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I mean, he's kind of like LeBron-like as far as his dimensions are concerned. And you just think, you know, what he can do with a bat in his hand. And he said he's going to play this year. So we'll see what happens with them. But it was a good time to be on the road in both Toronto and certainly New York.
Very cool.
Yep, good times.
All right, my buddy, enjoy your day
off. What do you guys have going this weekend?
Man, I got my daughter back in town. She was gone all summer. She comes back tonight. And other than that, I got nothing. You want to do something?
Come to the ballpark. Let's hang out. Colorado's in town.
All right, pal.
Should be some fun. All right, let me know. Hopefully I'll see you guys soon.
All right, glad to see you, buddy.
When it comes to my policy, Farmers gives it to me straight, so there's no surprises.
It's your coverage. You should never be confused.
You hear that? An insurance provider with a conscience.
We're a choir, but yes, we have that too.
Straightforward coverage you can literally understand. That's what you get when
you have Farmers. Bum, 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 bum.
Learn more at Farmers.com. Underwritten by Farmers Truck or Fire Insurance Exchanges or Affiliate. Products not available in every state.
If you're the type of person who wants data, not assumptions, Prenuvo's whole body scan gives you a deep understanding of your health. Screen for over 500 conditions, including many cancers, autoimmune disorders, neurodegenerative diseases, and more. Add blood panels to test over 80 biomarkers, and you've got information about your body you may never have had before. Book your scan at Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. DGS on KMOX. Janelle will be here next. We'll talk about the Odyssey. We'll talk about movies, entertainment, and such. So, you know, there's always some internet thing like, what would you do for $1 million? Here's the latest one. How many inches of height would you give up for a certain amount of money? And the categories are give up 2 inches for $300,000, 4 inches for $750,000, 6 inches for $2.5 million, 10 inches for $50 million.
I'm giving up six. That's a win-win for me, because then I have $750,000 and I'm 5'1".
Right.
I can wear heels every day. Dude, yes. Yeah. But it is going to be different for women. I fully acknowledge that. But as someone who did always wish they were a bit more petite, this is nothing but wins for me.
So for you, it'd have to be how many inches would you add?
Not really, because I mean, it's like for seven. Well, maybe I wouldn't add 6 inches for seven. I might do like the 2 inches for the $250,000.
Wheels?
I don't know. I mean, now I would answer, sure, why not take that? I'd take the $2.5 million or whatever. Is that
Dude,
what it was?
Totally. Totally.
Now, like, but if you asked 18-year-old me is like, shut up, dude, no way.
Yeah, no.
We're going to be a millionaire by then anyway. We don't even need that money.
Now it's like, I don't care. It's fine. I wouldn't change my life even a little bit.
For real. At 61 years old, take 10 inches away. Let's say I'm...
I don't know if I'm willing to go that far.
Say I'm 5'10". I end up 4'10". I'm just a novelty. I'm just Yoda Dave.
That's 12 inches.
I wasn't going to correct that.
So it's even better.
You'd be 5 feet tall.
You get an extra 300 grand.
That's fine.
Now, I would be 4'10". I don't think I'm okay with that.
I'd be dunking on you.
Yeah, well, everybody would be.
Andrew?
I mean, 2 inches is like not even a thought.
Right.
Right. That's no nothing.
Greed.
That's nothing. For 300K, get out of here. From there, you know, you don't really know, because you got to think about, there are practical difficulties to being much shorter.
I can buy a step stool.
Difficulties for reaching, difficulty for driving, just general difficulties.
I get myself a booster seat.
life is tough when you're smaller.
I would actually think that this should be framed better. This should be framed, though, as a percentage of your height and not just straight up. Because if you're 6'8", what do you care about giving up 6 inches? You're still tall. Versus an average-sized person, well, now you're like a munchkin. No, I would feel that way.
Would you be even angrier if you were 4'10"?
I mean, I'd just be Wolverine. Wolverine's like 5'2", right?
Yeah, he's a little taller than that. But
I mean, in the comics, not in the movies.
No, that's what I mean. Like, in general, I think he's maybe 5'4", 5'5".
All right with that.
Have a list here of the most unusual baby names from 2025. Want to hear them?
Yeah.
For girls, Tsunami, Maybelline, Infant Girl, Aloe, Mattel, Earth, and Ethereal. For boys, Papa.
That's hilarious to call your little six-month-old baby. Come here, Papa.
Pretty cute. Three.
Three?
The number.
Mm. Okay.
Gator.
These all sound like dog names.
I know a couple of
gators.
These
are all names that people actually, like, registered, named. Demon.
What? Oh, come on.
Billion. All right. Corduroy and Rayon.
I like Corduroy.
No.
There was a children's book called Corduroy. The little bear. He lived in a department store. You guys ever heard of it?
Mm-mm.
He loses his button off of his overalls.
But you said he loses his butt.
He loses his button.
Couple fun facts.
Yeah.
I knew this. I hadn't thought of it in a long time. The Beatles were once in talks to star in a Lord of the Rings movie with Paul as Frodo, Ringo as Sam, George as Gandalf, and John as Gollum. They even approached Stanley Kubrick, who tacitly agreed to direct it, but Tolkien said no.
Why did I think you were going to say they approached Stanley Tucci?
And perfumes were originally put near the door at department stores to cover the smell of horse manure and car exhaust from the streets.
Oh.
Makes sense. They go into that in Corduroy. Just kidding.
Where he loses his butt.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.